Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
When you realize that mainstream media has sold you a box of rocks, it's time to tune into the Kate Daly Show, America's newest addiction. The show starts now.
Just don't understand.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. It's not perfect, but it's a great deal better than when we grew up. 100 men standing in the street hoping for one job, selling apples on the street corner. That's one of the things we were dissatisfied about, and you don't see that much anymore. I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in stealing from somebody.
While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years. And by the world's standards, that's hardly more than yesterday.
Joe Friday. All right. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad that you're tuning in. You can go to katedalyradio.com. You can get the podcast. You can email me, kate@katedalyradio.com. And happy to take your requests for guests and, boy, all kinds of things. We're here to please. What can we say? And make sure you get over to Balance of Nature as well. Balance of Nature is a supplement that I take that I'm so grateful for. That's why I tell you about it, too. And you can actually get $25 off now. To try it, it's like pennies on the dollar. You've got to try the supplement Balance of Nature. If you just put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E, this is a supplement that gives you 10 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every single day that you know you're not going to eat, and also a fiber drink that you can drink every day. Keeps you regular. It gives you that perfect insulin amount. It regulates your insulin. It keeps your body just in that immune state where it can fight what's coming. And as we go into the fall and winter, we're going to need it. Make sure that you're getting this. It has turmeric in it. It has all kinds of stuff in it, and it's so good. It actually tastes good too. So make sure that you're getting this $25 off, which is awesome. It's so affordable that I you can't afford not to do it because it's that kind of nutrition. Get over to Balance of Nature just for listening to the show. You can put in the code KATE and get $25 off. I love that. Hi, Melissa Smith. How are you? I'm so glad you're joining me in this hour. Every week you do, and I absolutely love it. How are you?
I am so good. It's so funny that you played Dragnet on the bumper because I have been watching old Dragnet and Perry Mason.
Oh, how funny.
TV shows on YouTube for a while now, and they're so fun.
I think they're fun,
it's
too.
It's just nice to be in a world, literally, where things were more black and white.
Yeah, more normal. I'm with you.
People were rational.
Yeah. I can only take so many sadistic killer movies or shows, TV shows, and as they get more and more grotesque and sadistic, it's hard. I feel like we're inundated with those kinds of shows now, or we're inundated with the stupid parent shows where the parents are idiots and the kids know everything, and TV has become so hard to watch for me now that I actually find myself hardly watching any of it anymore, and actually I enjoy studying, isn't that crazy, for this. So I so appreciate you, because I know how much work you put in, and I know the kind of studying you do, and you always bring something really relevant to the table, and I love this. This is going to be a fun hour.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. Where do you want to start? Because I think let's start talking about a novel, because where we're going to go with this will surprise people, but I think this is such a great lesson. I love this. Go for it.
Well, this is one of my favorite novels of all time, and one of my favorite authors. And my two sons would, like, roll their eyes and have to leave the room.
Of course.
If I mentioned Jane Austen's name.
Of course, so would mine.
but yeah, right. But the novel Sense and Sensibility is an amazingly interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
And the two characters in Sense and Sensibility represent the two ends of the pendulum. You have Eleanor and Marianne, the two sisters. And the thing, of course, is Jane Austen. So everyone ends up happily married at the end of the novel. But their pathway to get there, Eleanor she's governed by her head, by the rules of society. She's very self-contained. She mm-hmm. has a lot of self-control, maybe too much, a little too much self-control at times, because she's willing to subvert what she really wants and what would be best
right.
for the dictates of what society deemed was proper.
Okay.
Then there's her sister, Marianne, who just lets everything fly. She just mm-hmm. lives in a world of emotion, of overwrought poetry, and of, you know, doing, she's very headstrong and does whatever she wants. And so Jane Austen, as a master novelist, sets up those two kinds of approaches to the world against each other to kind of ask the reader to decide, you know, head or heart, which one is more important?
Right. Right.
And I think that's a really important question for us today. I think we're living more and more in a society in which we are almost becoming entirely governed by heart, to the point that head has taken a vacation and is apparently hanging out, you know, on a beach somewhere in Belize or something. I don't know.
So where, true.
Why? We need to remember and we need to reconnect. In the novel, both of the girls, both of the sisters, have to kind of connect to the other part that they're kind of a little mm-hmm. more deficient in.
Mm-hmm.
But Eleanor, at the end, comes out the stronger of the two sisters because it's more easy to connect her head to her heart within the polite society than it was to rein back the emotion to make it subjected to what was sensible. That's why the book is Sense and Sensibility.
Mm, good point. Kind of like justice
really
and mercy, right?
Topic.
It's like the marrying
Pardon?
Of just. It's like the marrying of justice and mercy, the head and the heart, and it's rules with context. It's an understanding that you have, you know, a value system or a moral code too, right? I mean,
right.
Well,
you know, if we're talking about Jane Austen, we're talking about a moral code from the 18th century, right?
Right.
Or the early 19th century. And maybe that's gone too far.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Too restrained for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I think maybe it's good to think about the baby that's gotten thrown out with the bathwater. Because there are good things to be said. We are living in a world right now where if you say something that's offensive to me,
mm-hmm.
then I'm triggered and I need my special space. And that's where your head should step into the game mm-hmm. and say, wait a minute, who cares? You know, right. That's where your mother saying sticks and stones can break your bones, but names will never hurt you should be playing in your head. Yes, our hearts get hurt, but our head can say, wait a minute, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a breath. It's all fine. Everything is fine here.
Mm.
And on the other side, we have people who are so head-driven that we are thinking up these complex justifications for the most outrageous behaviors,
mm-hmm.
Like free-for-all abortion on demand.
Right.
And we think that's where our hearts should engage and say, wait a minute, we're talking about a human life here, head. There's really not much justification you can give me to make that a good thing.
Yeah, it's true.
So the pendulum kind of swings right now. We're swinging way on the far end. And I'd like to suggest that some of that has not been done by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this has been a long time coming as we've thrown morality out the window And as we've thrown, in particular, Judeo-Christianity out the window.
Boy, isn't that true? You know, it's as if we're on a field and the two goalposts have been the same for quite a while, but somebody moved one of the goalposts now into another city, and we don't even realize that we are playing on a field that is so far away from where we have contained our society that we go to match that, and we don't even realize. It's kind of like the frog in the boiling water. We don't realize just how hot it's gotten, just how much we have been entrenched into not seeing the big picture of where we've arrived. Because if you really look at where we were at even 20 years ago and where we're at today, the stuff we talk about, Planned Parenthood there in Southern Illinois, and I know we are live in Illinois right now, is announcing its newest abortion facility, 18,000 square foot mega clinic in Southern Illinois. And what's interesting, this is just 13 miles away from Missouri. And this is, they used a shell company to construct the facility. They left no public trace about it. And when CBS even visited it, it was just being built. And this is going to be one of the largest mega complex for abortion. We are killing babies. We're killing and murdering babies in it. And we don't even, as a society, is everyone so alarmed they're running and shaking the doors and saying, oh my gosh, what are you doing? No. We're going, oh my gosh, well, Planned Parenthood got their way.
Well, because it's become a head issue and not mm-hmm. a heart issue.
Right.
The issue has
exactly.
become, like, when exactly does life start? Mm-hmm. When exactly?
Yeah.
Like, is it, like, when the first cell splits,
mm-hmm.
or is it 3 months in, or is it 1 year after birth, or
right.
when, what is life? Now we're having a philosophical debate.
Now we're dissecting, yeah, what life, when life begins, and isn't it crazy? We're in crazy town. We're over here discussing this as rational people trying to understand what in the world's going on, instead of shaking the doors and demanding that this place be, not built or not occupied, and saying, how dare we do this? We're over here debating. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I think it's good. Let me take you just on a really quick thumbnail tour of what the world looks like without Christianity in it.
Okay, because you've got about 30 seconds before
we go
to break.
Maybe we'll have to come back to that afterward. But
I'm interested to hear that.
It's a worthwhile discussion to say, what really mm-hmm. is the contribution of Christianity in the world today?
Right.
Can we live a civilized world, have a civilized world without it? It's a hard question to answer.
You know, it is, because, it's obviously going to ruffle some feathers out there, I know. But, you know, the majority of this country is, and we should discuss what it would look like without it. So we'll be right back, Melissa and I, and I love where she's going with this.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
This is not rehearsed. I'm just some person that listened to the commercial and said, you know what? Fruits and vegetables, how can I go wrong? At one point, I was going to stop taking it. And then I got a message saying that even if you stop taking it, you still have your coat for 2 months. And that's when I really realized you people aren't looking for money. You really care about the human being and helping people. So to me, that is the most important thing.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we'll take off an additional $25 on your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code Kate.
And you've got to stay tuned for the rest of this, too. She's going to go a couple of places. This is going to be good. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Now, call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. I'm glad that you are. I have Melissa on every Wednesday at this time, and she's always refreshing as far as what she's going to bring to the table. And we're talking about heart versus head and heart and head and how far off of the reservation all of us have gone in our nation has gone in its value system, where a majority of our nation is of Christian Judeo values, and how important that is. And so take it from here, Melissa.
Well, I think it's good to kind of take a look at what the world was like before Christianity really takes a toehold, and to look at how civilization changed. Mm-hmm. So if you go back into the Greek and Roman world, you will find about a fourth of the population was being held in slavery.
Right.
A fourth of the population.
That's huge.
The solution for destruction and calamity and tragedy was the Greek and Roman gods were seen as the source of suffering, and there was nothing you could do about it. You know, just had to put up with it. About a fourth of the population, another 25% of the population at any given time was sick. They were physically ill. Okay, and we think, well, you know, what does Christianity have to do with any of that? Maybe not a whole lot, but listen to this. In the Roman world, infant girls and babies with any baby with an abnormality the parents were routinely encouraged to leave the baby out to die because they didn't want it.
Right.
I'm not so sure we're very far from that.
Wow.
I'm not so sure we're very far from any of those things, actually. Slavery is on the increase in the world. If we're talking about sex trafficking and sex slavery and the slave markets in the Middle East, we're seeing the rise of slavery again. We're seeing the rise of strange and new diseases, possibly, as you and I have talked about, possibly because of some genetic engineering. And we're seeing the devaluation of our children. If we have a child that we don't want or don't like, well, just kill it. That's fine. We don't want that.
Or drug it. I mean, there's a lot of parents out there that aren't even going for an accurate anything. They just, as long as the kid's on something and it keeps them occupied, they're fine. It's very,
And we need to remember, in the ancient world, there was no such thing as a concept of human dignity, of equality before the law. These are all ideas that human dignity and equality before the law absolutely come from the rise of Christianity in the West.
Well, yes, because you're giving it to God-given rights. You're saying that there is a God that gave us these rights. The government's only supposed to protect the very limited rights that it states, even in our Constitution. That's why our Constitution was so different than anyone else's. We owned the government instead of government being our God. We were alluding to the fact that there was a God and that we were getting our rights from him, which superseded the government, you know, which was bigger than the government.
And if you really want to know the honest truth, the shocking part of slavery is not that slavery was practiced all the way up into the 19th century. The shocking part is that slavery was ended. Never in the history of the world had any nation, Great Britain precedes the United States, slavery was just acceptable in the ancient world. It was just a thing that happened, and it wasn't racial slavery. It was based on who won the battle and who lost.
Yes, and we also had a good amount of servitude going on, too, where that was just accepted. You were somebody's servant, and that paid some sort of debt, whether you liked it or not. Whether you liked it or not, whether you wanted to travel somewhere or not, you could be picked up and then having to pay a debt. So you were forced into slavery. And so you're exactly right. I hope people are listening. it's huge.
So Paul in Galatians writes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male nor female, for you are all in one in Jesus Christ. And you know what? Now the genie's out of the bottle, right? Now he has provided a philosophical shift. There is neither bond nor free. It is a statement of equality, not before the law, but before God.
Right, right.
And that is the hinge upon which equality before the law stands. That is the linchpin of equality before the law.
Great point.
So as we throw out Christianity, and by the way, when did Christianity start to be thrown out? It's not a recent thing. Mm-hmm. It starts way back in the 19th century.
Oh, yeah.
Where you can start to read about people like Nietzsche, who is talking about God is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's espousing a nihilist viewpoint.
And killing Christians.
What happens when you kill God?
Mm-hmm.
Who sits in the driver's seat now? Mm. And suddenly, humanity, this is where these are the roots of humanism. Now, the only thing we have to temper anything is what people decide. That does not bring you equality before the law.
Right.
That brings you equality before the government.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. True.
It brings you equality before whoever has the biggest hammer to throw. You know, it's a strange turn of events. And while we're talking about Nietzsche, when he threw out the notion of God and creation, he was the guy that espouses this idea of in his words, it was the Übermensch, the Superman, that we could create a super elite, amazing Superman that would be better than the average guy, right? Mm-hmm. Is that equality before the law?
Yeah.
Seriously. Is that equality at all? No. What it is racial eugenics. And there's a straight line between Nietzsche and Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
When he threw out God, it created a world in which suddenly we could contemplate treating people that way. That some of us are better, some of us are smarter, some of us are more capable, and we should rule over the lesser beings among us. That's an ugly, ugly thing. So
absolutely.
For all the talk that humanists and the atheists want to tell us about how harsh and oppressive a belief in God is, do they think that elimination of God leads to something akin to freedom?
Wow.
Because what it led to in many places in the world was this notion of racial elitism, or it led to justification for genocide, because if we are the smart ones, if we're the ones in power, we get to decide what happens to you. We don't owe anything to God. There is no God. God is dead. It's what we decide.
Wow.
It brought greater oppression and tyranny. Nobody ever says that.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says that when you eliminate God, you actually get greater oppression.
That is true, because then government becomes the God. That's exactly the direction we're headed in right now, and that's what's so scary.
Yeah, it is scary. The other person that I think we should mention a little bit is Charles Darwin. And Darwin's writings, at the bitter end, provide the justification yet again for kind of an elitism.
Where'd you go? Did we lose her? Ah, no. Darn it. It always happens, doesn't it? Oh, I feel like sometimes our show gets screwed with a little bit. You know what I mean? All right. I'm sure that she's going to be calling right back, and hopefully we'll get her on quick. What can I say? But I like where she's going with this, because I don't think we think of Darwin in the way that Melissa's going to take this. I don't think we understand quite where she's going to go with it. So I think this is going to be good. Melissa, are you back with us?
Yeah.
Here you go.
I'm so sorry. I don't know
what
happened. But, but Darwin provides, it gives a justification for some of the the social Darwinist racist ideology that was used to control huge chunks of the world. Right?
Right.
So we don't ever talk about those things. Maybe if Darwin had been a little more accepting, mm-hmm. and if we were a little more accepting of there is neither bond nor free, male nor female, but we all stand before God equally, it might be a different world.
That's true. It's a survival of the fittest, and in the way that he described our beginnings. Because a lot of people say, well, how is that racist, Melissa? How does that, you know, lend to what you're saying?
What, survival of the fittest?
Or just Darwin, all Darwin's philosophies.
Well, social Darwinism mm-hmm. says that even in human societies, the fittest rise to the top.
Right.
So social Darwinism was used to justify why the Europeans should rule over all of Africa.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because they were clearly more fit.
That's so true. Yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, it depends on who's defining what fitness is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I have the biggest gun and can force other people into subjection under me, then I am clearly more fit. It's survival of the fittest. If right. I can kill you more efficiently, I'm more fit.
And I reign over you, meaning that
That's
you're
right.
depleted of any personal liberty. I own you. I can tell you what to do.
Hmm. And those are philosophies that operate in the head and not in the heart at all.
Hmm. You know what? You're so right on that, because when that's discussed in schools for our younger kids, it's always discussed as just a philosophy of evolution, ape turning into man. They don't really talk about what you're talking about right now. It's interesting.
Well, that is the mm-hmm. that was the big deal about Darwin in the 19th century.
Right.
That's
right.
Why Darwin was a big deal.
Exactly.
Was because he provided the justification for imperialism.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't ever talk about that anymore.
The lost conversations. Boy, there's a lot of things
is.
We don't talk about anymore.
I know.
It's frightening.
So as I read the headlines, I can see a lot of connection in a lot of stories to how we have set aside either the head or the heart working together. And the way I see it is that our head tells us intellectually what we should do, but we have to unite the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
We have to unite the intellect with the heart's tenderness, and we have to take the emotion that the heart generates and unite that to the education of the head. And when I was explaining to a friend of mine, it's like the two wings of a bird.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really fly. A bird can't fly without two wings. It can't fly with just one.
So true.
It needs both wings to flap in unison. And the heart and the head need each other
mm-hmm.
to help. It's a check and
right.
a balance.
We'll be right back. More with Melissa when we come back. Don't go anywhere on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
This afternoon, we're on the phone with...
But now, call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very
Show. Well, welcome back. So much to talk about with Melissa, and so glad she's with me. Melissa Smith, always our Wednesday contributor to the show and co-host, and always appreciative of what she's doing in connecting dots and bringing forth information always in a different light, in a different way. I love that about you, Melissa. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
You betcha. And by the way, you can go to Patreon. You can go right on our website. There's katedallyradio.com. There's a Patreon button to donate to the show, and we need it. And I really appreciate those of you that do. I contribute. Thank you for that. And also visit the website to get the podcast as well. You can also see a picture of Melissa. All my co-hosts, most of my co-hosts are on there, not all of them. So Melissa's on there though. So Melissa, let's take it from here. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and I think the next place we need to go is to look at some things in the headlines.
Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Because we've kind of and the disconnect that's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think you were the one that shared this with me. Mm-hmm. That doctors are giving children that want to transition, mm-hmm. Gender confused children are being given puberty blockers. But when you get underneath, so this is called, what is the name here? I got to get you the exact word for it. Mm-hmm. This is considered like transgender health care. But is it really health care? And I think that's what happens. When we get these head and heart kind of discrepancies, we start mm-hmm. putting new vocabulary into place to make it okay. Right. Maybe it's the cognitive dissonance at work. We have to have a way to think about it, or it just makes us crazy. It mm-hmm. really is mad world, you know?
Yeah.
But Lupron, this drug that's given to kids that want to transition to a different gender, mm-hmm. is the same drug that's being used in prison to chemically castrate our prisoners.
Yeah, it's pretty diabolical, actually. And it's hard to wrap our brains around this because I think we think that for most of us, I can't imagine doing that to a kid, but the people that are doing it in the name of what?
Well, it's political correctness or mm-hmm. I don't know what they're doing, but they're taking a child with a healthy body.
Right.
There is no disease here that they are treating.
It's a good point.
Not a physical, but let me change that. There is no physical disease that they are treating.
Mm-hmm.
And Lupron is actually, it's a testosterone blocker that was designed to be used for people with prostate cancer.
Hmm.
So put all that together in your head. What a strange, strange. And by the way, Lupron is being used off-label for children. No one knows what the impact of that's going to be on their health long-term.
Right, right. You're right. Exactly right. There's no studies. There's nothing. There's just nothing on it. And to the amount that it's being done is, that's getting a little crazy. And I don't want to fearmonger and say that it's being done around every corner. I don't believe that it is. But it's being done enough that it should cause some concern for all of us, that it's being done in the amount that it's being done right now, because I don't have ever in history we've ever been doing this sort of thing for this reason for children. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's what happens when our head has made, I'm not even sure, maybe this is the heart part. We want these kids who are confused and their gender is, they're having a struggle for sure. Mm-hmm. And
well,
we
I don't even know for sure,
okay.
though. I mean, I don't even know for sure, though. I think maybe it might be more of the parents' interpretation of their, you know, a confused outlook. But I think that they're reading more into it. Do you think so? I think
Absolutely.
They're reading more into it. Yeah.
Absolutely. However, mm-hmm. why there is a certain madness that happens when we think that we can biologically alter a healthy child with heavy-duty drugs that are used otherwise to treat prostate cancer,
yeah,
and that it will all be fine.
It's sickening, and you're right. You bring up a great point. These are healthy kids. These are healthy kids, and what the parents are projecting on them is this is that there's something wrong with their mind that has to do with their outlook on their body, right? But they are healthy kids, and we're giving them these horrendous drugs. It is. It's insane when you put it that way.
Well, in prison, uh-huh. this drug is used to suppress libido.
Oh, my gosh.
So what will madness. That do to a child as they approach puberty?
Right.
As they will they ever be a normally functioning anything? They will be neither man nor woman. They will be chemically suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And not too long ago, I read a biography of Alan Turing, the guy that invented the machine, the code-breaking machine, the computer genius. He's credited for being the father of modern computer technology. Mm-hmm. But he was a homosexual in England, and he was caught, and it was against the law. And they chemically castrated him, and it led to his suicide.
Right.
He couldn't function anymore. He didn't, it made him physically ill. I can't imagine what will happen to these kids. They're not going to be, even under the best circumstance, they're going to not be normal. They're not going to be healthy.
Yeah, and I can't imagine that we're not screaming for these parents to actually be put in prison for what they're doing to their children. Because if you remember back, you know, you listen to your parents for everything, their ideological viewpoint, their religious viewpoint. I mean, you rely on your parents. That's why we have parents. And it isn't until you're in your 20s and 30s that you start really kind of grasping, you know, that was, you know, this was my parents and this is what they thought. And you rely so heavily on it. And so these parents know how influential they are on these kids. These kids are going to grow up one day, like you said. What kinds of problems are they going to have in their 20s and 30s if they last that long? And why aren't we calling for these parents to reap the lawful part of this, which means you can't do this to a kid. And I don't want the state to intervene, but oh my gosh, I mean, when do we say that's not okay to do this to a child?
Yeah, no kidding. And instead, we're seeing lawsuits with, you know, a father that wants to, you know, reach out to a son, and the mother's like, no, it's a girl, and lawsuits in the court over it.
Yeah.
This is absolute madness, and it's what happens when we've completely shed our connection to any higher power that has proclaimed your bodies are good, they're healthy things, which doesn't preclude illness and sickness and all those other things, but we're not talking about that with this.
Right.
We're talking about healthy people and chemically altering their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's nuts. Well, here's another one. This is another story that I just picked up this week that I think also talks about this kind of strange, weird duality that we have. So the United Nations passed, we're coming up here on like the anniversary of a UN Beijing Commission on the Status of Women, the Beijing Declaration. And so the UN all the delegates got together, and they decided that there were certain rights that women should have. One was about women should not have medically unnecessary or coercive medical interventions, no acts of violence against women, including forced sterilization or forced abortion. And the irony of this being passed in Beijing is stunning
to
start with.
Right.
But there's a Uyghur woman from China who escaped out of China. She got out of the country. And when she got into the West, she has this story that she told to the United Nations that she was arrested. She's the mother of three children. Her three children were all died in Chinese custody.
Mm-hmm.
She was tortured, including electrocution, but apparently not to death, but she was some kind of something.
Torture.
Without her knowledge, she was medically operated on without her knowledge or approval. And when she got to the West, she discovered that she had been sterilized. She did not know that. Now, you would think if we were fully integrated, thinking, feeling people, that there would be an outcry about this against China. Is there? No, the United Nations is completely silent.
Yeah. Yeah. The only outcry, kind of like that pro-abortion mob The ones that are for abortion, attempting to burn down a Catholic church in Mexico, demanding an end to the country's ban on abortion. Those are the mobs that are emerging for the mad, mad world. Where people are staying silent, like us, we're staying relatively silent. Going, we're horrified, but we're relatively silent.
Because I think we don't know what to do. I just had that conversation. What do we do? I think we're all, you know, most the people, the ordinary people out there, people like you and me. Are we ordinary, Kate? I don't know. Maybe we are. Maybe we aren't. But we're closer. But what do we do? You know, and I read all the time, you know, it's not enough just to talk on social media about it. But I've been to pro-life rallies and have not seen anyone else from anyone else that I even know.
Right. Yeah, so, it is hard to know what to do.
What do we do? You know, they're building a big, giant abortion clinic in Southern Illinois. What do I do about that?
Yeah.
You know, when you live in an asylum, you know, how do you fight the system? How do you make yourself heard? It's a really hard question.
Right. You know, it's funny because I it's kind of like, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but it's such a great example. When I talked about my views about outing the political mechanism of LGBT, and then I got the hate mail and hate and death threats and everything else, it was interesting how many people messaged me and said, I'd love to share that post, but I can't because it'll affect my career and it'll affect my neighbors. Everyone will be mad at me. And my first thought was, then let everybody be mad at you. You've got to speak out. The first step is to own it and speak out and not be afraid to do so. We are afraid that we're going to rock the boat in our own lives. We're too afraid that it might hurt our career. Do we think we can't get another career, another job? We're so entrenched into our own slavery to the things that we've developed in our lives that we're afraid now. Because you can't go against this beast, this monster of these people, like that group that wanted to burn the Catholic Church down. They've become so violent that now we've become afraid, and the more afraid we get, the more violent they're going to get.
Well, if I can kind of return back to Jane Austen again.
Sure.
What is it that kept two sisters with two very different worldviews together? And it was the love they had for each other. And I think we're losing the ability both to have the dialogue in a rational way. When one side just is dialing up the emotion, it causes the other side to just kind of withdraw from the field. And I think we may be in a situation now where we're going to have to teach people how to have the conversation now.
Right.
And if you're the fully integrated head and heart person, you're the person that may have to lead that discussion. But the other thing that I think we have to do is we have to increase our ability to love other people. And that sounds like, I mean, I can't believe I just said that because it sounds like such a goofy thing. But if we're talking about what is the Christian solution, it's to love the sinner and hate the sin, right?
Right. To extend more love. And that's true. That's true.
It is. We have to understand, at least at an intellectual level, why people do what they do. But I don't think we need to go looking for the fight either.
No, and you don't need to champion a cause that you truly don't believe in just to support somebody or to go along with political correctness because you're afraid. So you stand your ground, you stand your values. You still love. You can do that. Fight with even standing your ground. You can still do that. And I love that message. Thanks, Melissa. No, it was great. And the heart and the mind. I love that. Thank you. Really appreciate
you. Thank you, Kate.
Thanks a lot, Melissa. Isn't she great? Be right back. That was awesome. Be right back with Susan. Don't go anywhere. This is the Kate Daly Show. We'll be right back. thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.